Sunday school again, and we tried this, I don't know, it's been quite a few months ago, wasn't it, back in March or something? But anyway, we have some missionaries visiting with us today, the Gatesways. They are going to the northern part of India. They know Dr. Cherian and his work, and they're going to be in the northern part of India. So we're going to be talking to them and see about their ministry. Of course, they're trying to get back. Everything else, kind of waiting to see what the country's going to do with the virus. That's going on all over the world with our missionaries, and we need to just continue to pray that God takes care of this virus. And we know that God's in control, and nothing surprises Him. And the Lord is using this, all things, for His glory. And I know sometimes we get hung up and wondering why, and what's God doing? Well, He knows what He's doing, and we can all think about the virus, we can think about the elections, but God is in control, folks. And from the beginning to the end, we can trust what He does, what He's going to do, what He's done in the past. He's there forever and ever. And we wrap our hearts and minds around that. It gives us some peace in this world that we live in today. So let's get started. We're kind of limited on time today. I know we just kind of short-circuit things here just to be able to let them come in and get the auditorium ready for the next service. So as things changes in the next weeks to come, we may get back to no blue tape and see where all that goes. But until then, we'll just live with the blue paint tape, and we'll be fine. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started today. And we're going to go back into Timothy, where Brother Harry left off, 1 Timothy, and talk about him today and see what the Lord has to say through that. So let's pray, and we'll get started. Lord, we thank You for Your love, and God, we thank You for Your grace toward us and what You did on the cross, Lord. And Lord, we just love You so for that shed blood that You so freely give for each and every one of us. And we pray today for our church service. Pray that we'd use it in our hearts and minds and enrich our lives with Your word. Lord, help us to take the word and use it, glean on it, and hear it in our hearts and minds. And Lord, we just pray for our pastor today that You give him the words to say and preach and teach. Pray for all the Sunday school classes this morning, the kids and adults everywhere around. Lord, keep us all safe and clear of the virus. And Lord, just continue to help our church to stay open and help things to start getting better. And Lord, we just love You so for all that You do every minute for us. Lord, we just pray that You give us a good morning. Help me in this Sunday school lesson, Lord, as I start teaching again. It's a privilege, Lord, and we just pray that Your blessing would be on it today and on us here in the auditorium for being in Your house. Praise Your wonderful name. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be back in Timothy and talking about how Paul was teaching this young man to start the New Testament churches and how to work with people and they had Judaizers coming in and trying to change things and look at the law and mix the law with the gospel and all of that was going on during that time. So I'm going to kind of look back in 1 Timothy, the whole thing in chapter 1. Paul was giving Timothy the challenge, and he was talking to Timothy about the true end of the law, and when he shows him that it's the gospel now that what needs to be preached, not the law. Of course, we had the Jews that were trying to mix law and the gospel together, and some of them just couldn't get by not doing something. And, of course, we know that blends off into work salvation today. And folks believe they need to do something to get saved, do something to stay saved. And we know that none of that's the truth. God's word is perfectly clear that Christ is the way, the only way, and accepting him by faith is what saves us. He does all the work. So he's encouraging Timothy here to be able to preach that. And he talks about the doxology and how Timothy that is going to be blessed by teaching these New Testament church that God's going to take care of. In chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy that of how he needs to pray and the reason for it. And then he starts talking about basic church stuff that we at our age have heard many, many times. He's talking about women's apparel and their subjections and the reasons for it. And many things about the ladies in chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, we must move forward here. It talks about the qualifications of the offices of the church, the office of bishop or the preacher, qualifications for deacons and their wives. And talks to Timothy and speaks about the foundational truth again of the church. For then, even into the future, to the end of the church age, if we look at this, it's you crossing over what we call dispensations, if you'd like to use that word. It's a time period in the Bible that God's dealing with people in different ways, and if you really look at the time period of the coming up to Christ dying on the cross. Begins the church age because he leaves and goes back to heaven, leaves the Holy Spirit and charges the apostles. But then again, you've got the beginning of the New Testament church age, the time of the Gentiles, the teaching of the word to all mankind. So there's a period of 60, 70 years here. It's kind of a crossover. You've got the old and the new direction for the church, and it's starting to separate. It's starting to get away from the work of the Jews that was set up in the Old Testament under Moses, and now you've got what Christ did on the cross. When he died on the cross, he made the ground level at the foot of the cross. All mankind could get saved. So we see that this time period was a kind of a difficult time. And that's why Timothy here was being engaged in teaching a lot of these practical things that the Jews didn't understand at that time. You know, we are in a time period here in the world today. A lot of us grew up in a time period that we had the old-fashioned gospel teaching and preaching and the days of revivals and I was looking at a book that I bought. I think I got it up here at that tourist thing in Abington, the barn there, about Appalachia, Central Appalachia, that we've all basically grew up in here, and the old churches and baptisms and the rivers and all the things that used to happen and the preachers and the circuit-riding preachers, circuit-riding Methodist preachers, all these little churches throughout the coal fields and throughout this part of the world. You had circuit-riding preachers, and all that went on. You just don't see that anymore. Those things are past. Folks, we're living in a new generation. And a lot of the teaching, the basic teachings that have been taught in the past are being forgotten or not taught today in the way they should be to raise up a new generation. We've got a couple generations here that know not Well, they don't know the word. A lot of them don't know enough to be saved. As the old boy used to say on the creek bank, they said they don't know enough to know. And we need to be, we may think some of this stuff is simplistic to us, but we need to give these facts to our grandchildren and to our children and to the generations behind us. If we don't do it, it's going to be forgotten. The teachings and the basic doctrine of Christ and what he did on the cross. Not only did he die for us, but we got so much more when he did die. We got the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that helps us discern these things. Holy Ghost discernment today is a hard thing even to find that. You can find people that sit in the church house, people that come to church from time to time, maybe not on a regular basis. And do they have Holy Ghost discernment in their life to be able to discern what a person needs to hear from God's Word? I mean, we can read the Romans Road to somebody and they may get saved by that. But beyond that, it becomes, in today's world, we call it discipleship and growing of Christians. Yes, they need to be discipled. Yes, they need to be led along the way. You know, you look back, I was looking in that old book and all that went on back then. There's a lot went on front porches back in the day. People don't even come outside anymore. They're in their house and they're there around their TV, or the kids are around the video game. And how cautious our children have to be with their kids now, because they just get glued in on those TV games and video games. They'd sit there all day just numb to the whole world. And you have to be cautious about those things. It's a new world we really live in, folks. We're the generation from the past. I was born in 50. Some of you was probably born in the 40s. And we saw the past, saw the gospel come alive in this country, saw it but preached and teached, and missionaries sent out. The men came back from World War II, and they had saw these foreign countries, and they wanted to go back and preach the gospel. Today, you don't have that. Today, you don't have that. So there's so much being taught here to Timothy that we think may be simple, but these simple truths, these people didn't know. They were hearing this stuff for the first time. Think about that. How many times have we heard it? From this pulpit, from Preacher Lashley. You know, we came here in 99, and I started gleaning from him then. You know, I come out of a little church up in the coal fields to hear, and we thought, oh, well, this is huge. You know, we come out of a little independent Baptist church in Danville, West Virginia, on the edge of the coal fields. And it was a wonderful thing to raise our family up, and we learned and saved. They got saved there, and I was saved in a little church there, a little Southern Baptist church before I went into service. But anyway, the times have changed, folks, and we have to take the Bible and take the words of the Lord and take this, what was being taught to Timothy here, and engage it in our lives. Now, today that brings us up to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, and we're down in verse 6. It's the word is being, he's being taught today in verse 6, says so much that we've got two or three pages here just on verse 6. And verse 6 says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, just the remembrance of the things that I've been talking about, you can remember those things. But we're talking about put the brethren, those that are believers. This was 65 A.D. They had already starting to forget. Because you get away from God's word, you forget. You forget what God says. You forget what the Holy Spirit speaks out to you. But if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, that says so much to me and to all of us, God speaking to us, saying, what are we talking about here, being good ministers of Jesus Christ? What is a good minister? Nourished up in the words of faith. Now, of course, we see Paul. Paul was teaching this to Christ had been gone 65 years, and these people had never met Jesus Christ, but they were receiving, I don't know what they really thought. They were getting these letters, this epistle that we're reading here was a letter from Paul, and now is God's word. That a lot of times these letters got passed around from church congregation to congregation. They would Timothy would let, maybe had a church over here in this little place, in this little community on the other end of town, and he would take that letter with him and read it. Well, maybe, I don't know whether he knew it or not, but he was reading the gospel, the New Testament gospel to these people. Because God seemed fit in the canon of the King James Version, that is 1 Timothy in the Bible today. And we've got that right here for us to read, us to discern, us to take it in and muse on it, think about it. Well, what's he saying to me? You know, we have to look at his word as he's speaking it to to me. I can sit down here and read through there and read a whole chapter here in a little while, and I could just read the words. But when I slow down and just look at just one verse, and you can take that verse home with you today and look at it and say, what's it saying to me to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith? Now, faith by itself is a word that I don't think we can understand or even have part of without the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, people have to get saved. And yes, by faith they are saved, it says. They believe. And the Holy Spirit does that. We don't do it. All we do is introduce the Word. Take the Word, introduce it to somebody, and let the Holy Spirit do the work. We can't do the saving. We know that the Word does it. The Word does it. By faith, you're saved. So, how much more does the Word speak to you and I as faithful Christians? How much more does it do for us? Through faith, let the Holy Spirit dwell and give you understanding of what it's saying to you. Folks, we need to slow down and let God speak to us in many, many ways. So looking at the lesson, now let's go back to the lesson just a little bit from the Word. It was important that Pastor Timothy preached the doctrines of the Scriptures. So we know that the doctrine of the Scriptures had to be preached. For people to get saved, he had to preach Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. And we know that he did that. We know that the New Testament church was being established and people were getting saved, Gentiles, and it spread all over the known world at that time. But we look at the Word here. The emphasis of the pastor's own personal life must be the Word of God and prayer. According to verse 5, we need to pray too. So you look at back, for it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. How much have we been praying here lately to for our church, for our missionaries, protect our youngins? Protect my son in England as a missionary, and the virus is going crazy there, but they're still having church, praise the Lord. He's got his people started back again. We need to pray and pray and pray, and then pray that the doctrine goes forward. Pray for their safety, pray for the doctrine, pray for the Word of God to go out, and the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit any weaker because of this virus? No. I mean, we let these things of the world really drive us in the ground if we're not careful to where we don't do anything. We need to speak louder now than ever before. Trust what God's doing, not what the scientists are doing, or not what whatever president's going to do or not do. Trust the Word. Trust what God says. We can get off track so easy. You just have to stop watching that junk and listen to the radio and all the commentators and yada 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 and on and on and on. It can drive you nuts. But get back to the Word. Listen to what God has to say. Is God in control? Say amen. Praise his name. He is in control today. He's up there flipping all the switches, pushing all the buttons. I don't know. They may not have switches now. Everything's gone digital. You just kind of hit the screen now and it works. But he's up there flipping switches, turning knobs. I'm old school electronics. Brother Harry is too. We flipped a lot of switches and turned a lot of knobs in our life. And God's in control, folks. Never think he's not. And how he's going to use what's going on in the world today, we've yet to see. We've yet to see. Someday we may know, someday we may not. But anyway, let's go on and look at the pastor here and what he's getting ready to do, Timothy. Only then, it says, when he's in the Word, it says, only then can the pastor efficiently teach his congregations how to know and fellowship with God. After he's read the Word, after he's prayed, he can only teach his congregation how to know, how to fellowship with God. After we've read the Word and prayed, we can only teach our friends, our grandchildren, our neighbors, the truth of God's Word. It applies to us, not only Timothy. And then we look at, there's some verses here I want to read. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2, chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace through the knowledge. Do we have the knowledge? Do you have the knowledge? Well, of course we do. You've got the knowledge right now in your heart, in your soul, to have that grace and peace. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are ye given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Folks, we can escape this crazy world through his knowledge, is what that word's saying. Through what we have in the Lord. The statutes of the Lord are right. They're right. Rejoice in the heart that the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Sometimes you're teaching your grandchildren something, and all of a sudden you see them get it. You see it in their eyes. They're enlightened. You see them come to understand that is the truth. But, well, I see how that works now. That's the way God wants us to be when we read his word. He wants to see our eyes enlightened. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord is true, and righteousness together. God's not stopped being on the throne. He's still there for us. All these things that were written then qualify today, even much more. They qualify today. Then, this verse goes to the thinking of, take for example the problem of doctrine of separation. We could stand here and talk all day on separation. What do we look like? What do we dress like? What do we smell like? Is our church separated? Is it not separated? Is it that church, this church? I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. And a lot of the talk is unnecessary. We know what God says. We know that it says simply In 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness and unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what accord hath Christ with Baal? And what part hath he that believeth in the infidel? And it goes on and on. We know those verses. We've heard those verses. Does the world know that today? You wonder why the world goes around and around here today, and we see all these people wanting to go to a party, or they want to get together and go do this, or they want to get together and go do that. The world is affecting people. Are we affecting people with the word? We've become a silent minority. Look at this crowd today. Praise the Lord for most of the Sunday school being back today. And I know there's some folks that's got to be cautious. We've got to be cautious in the time. We've got to be smart about it. But this thing of separation can become a problem even in our hearts, because we want to say what our conviction is instead of what God's word says. Now, when we start preaching convictions, we've got a problem, because we all think different about everything in the world. We've all got our own minds and hearts. Even God says that our hearts is deceitfully wicked, and no one can know it but Him. So we have to be cautious in this thing of separation. Now, folks, we are the saints, if you want to call it that way. That's probably a good word for us older folks. We're the saints of the church. And our opinions do have some weight. But far as convictions versus what the Bible says is right, you know, we're going to get this church back engaged. And we're going to get these buses back to running. It's going to happen. This virus will go down far enough to where we start really getting engaged, get things rolling again here. And we're going to get back out into the world, and we're going to knock on doors, and the bus people are going to work, and they're going to get folks coming in. Now, folks, it's easy for us to look at someone and be judgmental. I can do that. I can be so judgmental of what I'm looking at and think, boy, that's just not right. We have to be so cautious. You know, I don't want to sit back there in my pew and be to the point, well, look there, they come in, they had a drink. Oh, look there, that person's chewing gum. They shouldn't be. I mean, in my opinion, should they be chewing gum? I mean, what's that got to do with anything? Oh, they brought food in here. Don't they know they shouldn't have been bringing food in here? Folks, are you going to say something because somebody brought food in here, or chewing gum, or a drink, or maybe how their hair looks, or how their pants look, and stop them from coming back and hearing the word preached and getting saved? Because of my opinion on how someone should look, act, do what? Now we can get our age group, now that's the truth, we can feel like we've got liberties to say things, don't we? I may be able to do that to my children and get by with it. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If somebody comes through that door and they're not exactly right, praise the Lord, they come through the door. Y'all sitting there, you agree with me. I know you do. But ain't it easy to judge? It is. It really is. We have to be so cautious. And that all goes right back to where we talked about a while ago, the Word. Bathe your thoughts in the Word. Be careful what we say. Be careful how we judge. We want people to be saved. We need new members in God's house. We need people to be saved. God wants people to be saved. He didn't care whether they're chewing gum or not. What does that make any difference? He don't care whether they bring a cup of coffee in here, even though we think, oh, they're going to spill their coffee on this carpet. I mean, you know, our minds just get off track so easy. It's just who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. That's all we are. We're not supposed to be judgmental. Praise the Lord for visitors. No matter what they look like. No matter what they're doing. We can get there. And Timothy needed to learn that. Because he was dealing, if you look at this time period, I'm going to quit. If you look at this time period, they were going out and there were people still worshiping, Baal worshiping. And that was really ugly in some parts of the world at that time. Some of these people were still burning babies at a brazen altar. Really ugly people. Some people had problems with, well, that meat was sacrificed and you're selling it and you're going to eat it? They were having problems with that. See, they were just regular old people just like we are. Having problems, the same old thing then as the same old things today. Nothing new under the sun. The devil just wants to use it all to keep people from being saved. That's the bottom line. We're saved. He can't get us now. God's got us. But he can sure do things to keep people that need to be saved from being saved. And I don't want to be part of that crowd, for sure. I'm going to have to quit. I can go on. They need to get in here and change things around. Thank you for your attention. You're all good class. You don't even talk or nothing like teenagers do. But anyway, I appreciate you coming today. Praise the Lord. He's good all the time. Amen. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, we pray you bear with us. Help us. Help us use your word to strengthen our hearts and minds. Help us to be understanding of others. Help us to be hooked to you and out to others all the time. Be looking for a way to encourage, lift up, and encourage people to come out to church. Encourage people to read the Word. Lord, we need to have one hand up in prayer and one hand out to others all the time. Lord, help us. Lord, give us a good day. Be with our pastor today as he preaches. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys. You'd be dismissed. I guess they'll come in and take the table.